gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the internet. Here in the basement of the Great Hall of Justice are the most powerful forces for good podcasting ever assembled. This is the DC Superpowers Podcast.
This looks like a job for Superman.
To the Batmobile.
My name is John Jones.
I am the Green Arrow.
Welcome back, Super Friends, to issue 51 of the DC Superpowers Podcast. I'm your host, Ken, and sitting along with me here in the basement of the Hall of Justice is my good buddy, Vern.
Hey, everybody, what's up?
So, Vern, we're back live on Facebook again.
We are. We're live, in person, and if we make some mistakes, you'll see it.
Oh, yeah. Anybody who tunes in live, you actually get to see all the mistakes, everything else. We do a little bit of editing to make the sound a little bit better.
A little bit, but everything else is really just raw.
Yeah, if you want to see the raw, uncut, unfiltered, unedited, that's where you got to check out Facebook Live. And I think we're going to keep trying to do this anytime we can.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty fun. Plus, we have a little bit of a better interaction actually doing this face-to-face.
Oh, yeah. It's great to actually be able to look at someone and talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was almost a little light news week this week.
It was. We thought we would have some more out of WonderCon, but we didn't.
Yeah, you were looking and
much.
You said there's some stuff out of WonderCon, but there wasn't a whole lot of big announcements.
No, there was a lot of panels. We had a lot of guests. They had a Judas Contract movie showing, but
speaking of which,
yes.
Judas Contract is out. Everybody, Teen Titans Judas Contract, we're going to watch it this week.
Mm-hmm.
And so you guys need to go watch it this week, and we're going to do our full review of it next week.
Unless you don't care about spoilers.
Yeah, or else, yeah, because we're going to spoil everything on this movie.
But, yeah, they had a showing of that. They had some guest signings. Some people came through. That was about it. Basically, anything you see at a WonderCon wasn't nothing too big revealed. Probably because we're in the state of getting a Wonder Woman movie out right now. Mm-hmm. We're in the state of them working on Justice League. But I did find out that we will get a trailer of the Justice League in theaters soon.
Oh, nice.
Right now, it's just on YouTube.
Yeah. So is it going to be a different trailer than the one we actually have?
I have no idea. We'll see.
Ah.
We'll see.
And more than likely, they're going to put that right in front of Wonder Woman, too.
More than likely.
You never know. They're already filming Aquaman right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
We may get an Aquaman teaser.
That's
I kind of expect something at Comic-Con coming up.
I do,
we're
too.
We're 2 months out from Comic-Con.
Oh, yeah. Once Comic-Con gets here, Wonder Woman drops. Yeah, they're going to give us something juicy that we can feast our teeth into for a little bit.
Oh, yeah. But in other news, actually, we had the finale of Legends of Tomorrow Season 2.
Yeah, it was a pretty good ending, actually. I liked it.
Yeah, it was different than what I expected it to be.
And the renew for Season 3, by the way.
Oh, yes. And we did get all the Paradox stuff that you expect out of Legends of Tomorrow.
Yep. Oh, so much.
And
brain,
why can't
brain
we ever
hurts.
Go to Aruba?
Never. If they can't go, we can't go.
Yeah. So, let me bring up the right link. Ah, wait. No. There
I got it pulled up.
I got it right here.
Okay.
But the Legends of Tomorrow season finale had basically wrapped everything up and still set up for the next year.
Yes. It was a great ending. This might be one of the better ones we get this season. From any show on DC. So, the Legends came back. Wait a minute, we got a little...
Someone's commenting.
Yeah.
Ah!
Mine
we'll
froze
let you look
up.
At that. We'll let you look at that while I'm trying to bring up this article. The article isn't coming up, so you're going to have to give us a recap.
All right. Well, from what we've seen, Rip's back on the ship, and that's what the first part of the show shows. And he's still trying to figure out, where are the Legends? And the Legends are still... He has no idea, but he's in Star Labs, and he's trying to figure out a way how to get back to Legends. And
yeah.
Once he starts flying, he finds out, oh, I'm Teeny.
Yes. That was great. When they get the ship up and running, they get Gideon to get up and flying, they see something weird in front of the cockpit. They're trying to figure out where they are, and it's a desk lamp.
He's like, wait a minute. He did this. The son of a gun. So he shrunk them down, as I said, with Ray's technology, and put them as a display on his desk.
Oh, yeah.
That's the greatest irony of all. But he goes in there, and they find, actually, the Legends. And who's the first one to start messing with the ship?
Oh, it's Rip. Or not Rip. It's
Mick.
It's great, because Mick just reaches out, grabs the ship, and says,
you're so tiny!
Tiny Englishman. And shakes it around a little bit. And
as he's shaking the ship up, you hear Gideon saying, we're getting malfunctions on the ship if he keeps shaking. I was like, let's go.
Yeah.
Keep your mouth shut. I'll let you go. I'm just having fun.
So they have to actually break back into Star Labs to steal Ray's suit back so that they can make the Wave Rider to the original regular size.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they actually do this, and I was thinking, why, other than the fact that they get to see the Wave Rider breaking out of Star Labs, why didn't they just take the Wave Rider outside and put it to full size?
You know, I thought about that, too, once the building...
in the lab.
The ceiling just goes kabooey, really. Whoops. What, something's going on with my laptop right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, they do that, and they fly out of Star Labs, Savage style.
Yeah, right up onto the roof, and then everybody's like, you know what? We know what we got to do now. We had the whole plan they still have to do is go back to World War One to get the Spear of Destiny before the villains get a hold of
it. So they become their own time apparitions at that point.
Yeah, pretty much. They become aberrations because they're in the same time as themselves are.
Mm-hmm.
And if they see themselves, there's a chance they're going to destroy all of time.
Which, yes, things do get a little iffy there. We're not going to go to that point just yet. But while they're in World War One, there's a lot of death going on. And there was one of the most gruesome deaths I've seen on this show since season one.
Yeah.
Zoom goes... Not Zoom, I'm sorry. Professor...
Ah, yes.
Reverse Flash. He's Professor Zoom. He's Reverse Flash. All
these
things.
He's not Professor Zoom. He's
not now,
Eobard
Thawne. In the comic books, it gets a little confusing.
Well...
right now, Eobard Thawne, the Reverse Flash... He puts his hand, vibrates it right through Ray's suit, rips Ray's heart out while it's still pumping. Ray's looking at his chest. This is like something from Mortal Kombat, guys.
Yeah.
He looks at his chest, falls back after he's staring at his killer, and goes to the ground. Then he drops his heart.
And Eobard gruesome. Asks the question, why didn't I think of this year all these times ago?
Because we can't have that much violence on TV.
I
could have
done this the whole time.
That's like something from Game of Thrones, really.
Mm-hmm.
But after he died, that started off a chain of deaths throughout the whole show.
Yeah, they quick, basically, before the end of the show, they kill off all of the future versions of the Legends.
The ones that don't really matter.
The original ones that never saw the altered reality version of the future are the old ones left.
And they can't be corrupted. There's no changing to it.
There's no changing of history by doing this.
So they're still, at this point, pure of time.
Mm-hmm.
But as it goes on, they try to... Who is this? Jax, Sarah, and...
Jax and Sarah stay together.
And then everyone else on the ship.
Mick... Haywood and Ray go onto the ship to try to get the spear there.
Now, as they're doing this, they're not supposed to interact with their other selves. And the reason why they're still on the ship, because the ones that are on the ship can't see their future selves.
Well, they were
selves.
On their way. Remember from last episode, they were actually on their way to the church to get the blood.
Right.
But or at least find out where the blood is, because Sir Gawain's grave is in the church.
But they couldn't see their other selves at this time, so that's why it was okay for Sarah and Jax to stay outside.
Yeah, that's why Sarah and Jax keep an eye on the outside.
Another chain
can
go inside, just reversed. But eventually, you know, everything's going to go to pot right here.
Mm-hmm.
So they're talking on the communication on their comms, and they're like, hey, Sarah, you're down here talking to me right now. I'm like, wait a minute, but I'm on the ship. Something's going on here.
Yeah.
So I think this Legion of Doom pulling their leg and trying to... get a new way of getting the spear back. Turns out they're not. This is just their future selves trying to protect them. They have a little fight. They knock each other out. Now they're on the same ship, seeing their future selves.
And,
which is a problem.
All of the problems they thought might happen...
Happen.
Now can happen.
Yes. At first it doesn't seem too bad. They get a little like an earthquake sensation.
Yeah, they get a time quake, a little bit of a tremor.
And they're like, that's not too bad. It's like, well, it gets worse.
Yeah. As the show goes.
From then on, they start looking at each other, and they see each other, and they tried to go back in the past, correct, at some point, and the ship just malfunctions. They don't go anywhere.
Well, what it is the after they do everything they need to in World War II, or World War I, they get back, all of them get on the ship, because they're like, you know what, the best way to get the spear out of here is just get out of this time zone. So they try to go to the temporal zone, and when they do, the ship just crash lands back into the battle. Because of the paradoxes,
it does this weird time traveling fiction thing, and it's like this weird gas green bubble flying over them. They go a little bit in the sky and then drop right back down into World War One. So
exactly,
they can't leave. They're gonna have to do what they have to do there, and that's why when they start picking them off and they start dying, this is the ones from the future. It doesn't really do anything to the past.
Mm-hmm.
But as the Legion now intervene, they figure out what's going on. At first, they didn't understand it. Only Zoom did Reverse Flash comes back and tells them, yes, I'm Reverse Flash, but I'm from the future. And they're like, yeah, we've been to you from the future. She's like, oh my God, you guys aren't getting it. This is
I'm
hard
from
to
the
explain.
Future, you're remembering.
Yeah, and they're like, okay. So it just gives them orders and they follow and they don't really know what's going on, but since he's from the future, they'll believe him anyway.
And then Thawne, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but Thawne realizes that, you know what, if they can cause time aberrations, why can't I? So he goes and gets some friends. He goes and gets himself from, like, 50 different places.
Yeah, and this is...
Yeah, 50 different Eobard Thawnes.
He's wearing a suit, some in the civilian clothes, some in the clothes that he's in right now.
Yeah.
It's an army of Reverse Flashes. Who wants that?
Nobody wants that.
So he brings them there, and they're like, you know what? We're going to take you guys down right now. Here's the thing. The only one that's holding the spear right now is Sarah, and Sarah did not have any faith in herself, and we heard this from earlier on in the episode. She knows
she has faith in herself, but she knows she can't use the spear because she has too much darkness in her.
Right, but she can hide that darkness. She can put that darkness into where it needs to be.
Yeah. Because
if Reverse Flash was able to use it like that, she can.
Yeah.
She just has to believe in herself. So once she holds the spear and she's trying to alter reality, there's a little quick, what's the word I'm looking for? Temptation that she finds.
Yeah.
She sees her sister, Black Canary.
It was great to see
Laurel
Katie Cassidy
up, yeah.
on the show.
And they
said
she's going to be back as
we are
going to
get
Black
Siren.
Canary
she's
going to
be
Siren.
In, the, I believe, the end of this season of Arrow, and then she's going to be a regular next season.
Mm-hmm. Now, this could also be flashbacks of her as being just...
Well, this was... No, well, Sarah realized that this wasn't actually Laurel, because what they're doing and what they're talking about never actually happened.
Right. This is all just with the spear, what could happen.
Yeah.
If she decides to make the world this way, she can see her sister.
Then
but...
she mentions, this isn't right, this spear must be doing this, and then Laurel knows, it's like, yes, this is what could be.
Right.
She knows that this isn't real either.
Right. And she's saying...
It's basically the spear talking to Sarah,
right.
saying... That you could make this real.
Yeah.
This
or you don't
options.
Have to. But this is... It reminds me a little bit of what they do with Flash and the Speed Force.
Mm-hmm.
You see all the... You see the actual Speed Force talking to Barry through other people he knows. Well, that's what the Spear was doing with White Canary.
Yeah.
So, Sarah decides to make it right. And it seems like nothing happened when she comes back to reality.
Yeah, it looks like... Yeah, everybody else is like, wait a minute. You activated the Spear, nothing changed.
Mm-hmm. But
there's
something
one
did.
Thing that changed. Because Eobard goes and gets the Spear.
Yep.
And as soon as he does... It won't work for him.
I wonder why.
She changed one thing. She depowered the Spear of Destiny.
Yep. Therefore, no one can use it, so this whole fight can be over.
Exactly.
And also, she did one more thing, too. She let out some prisoner that he did not want to get out.
Yeah. She went and... Well, by depowering the Spear, is probably how she released the Black
because
Flash.
Because it never happened.
Uh-huh.
See, I just thought about that.
So, the Black
isn't
Flash
that,
is
isn't
out.
Time-traveling
and now, all of the Upper Thons have basically knocked out or killed all of the future... Legends.
Mm-hmm.
So the original Legends are still running around. The Wave Rider is smashed, but there's a second Wave Rider.
Right.
So they're able to get to that.
I do want to say when Black Flash took a Reverse Flash.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, didn't that remind you a little bit of what happened in season one of The Flash?
Oh, yeah. It's basically the Black Flash goes and kills all of the time remnants of Eobard Thawn because he's not supposed to be there anyway. He
right.
is an aberration.
Well, him taking out just Eobard Thawn that was in this world, the other ones eventually just vanished because it never happened now.
Yeah.
He's not there. But I feel like he's going to find a way back, as he usually does.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look what's happening in the comic books right now.
Yeah. Well, you can't keep a good villain down.
You cannot. And he's one of the best villains, I think, in DC comic books history, not even just a Flash villain.
Yeah.
But, so, everything's getting better now. They're going to go back to where they need to. The Spear's destroyed, and Amara's now back because
yes.
he was in the past.
Well, we have all of the Legends and Rip all in mm-hmm. the Wave Rider.
And technically, all the...
Well, before we get to what happens to the Legends,
mm-hmm.
let's go to the Legion of Doom. They don't kill the Legion of Doom.
No.
We have Malcolm Merlyn.
They put them right back
actually,
where
they didn't tell
need to
Malcolm Merlyn. They didn't show what they did to Malcolm Merlyn, did they?
No. They showed what happened to...
We find out what happens to
Damian Dark.
Damian Dark. They actually put him back in 1987, was it?
When he was in his whole Miami Vice
looking face. Back in
Miami.
And wipe his memory.
Mm-hmm.
So they can allow... And Sarah actually makes the conscious choice knowing that he's eventually going to kill Laurel.
Yep, and that's what he threatened
but
her with.
But that's what time is supposed to do.
Yep, he threatened her. He's like, so you're just going to let me stay here and eventually I get to kill your sister? She says, I'm okay with that. And he's like, what do you mean?
And she's okay with that,
and
is what
then
she says.
His mind goes blank.
Mm-hmm.
Well, back to where it needed to be. And
yeah.
then you had Heatwave and Captain Cold in the same warehouse that they were, I think, when he first went back into
it was,
the past.
That we have not seen this, but it is where that Eobard had pulled Captain Cold from.
Okay, that's
and
what
said,
it was.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to erase and let you go on the path you're supposed to go on
and
to
be
a hero.
Hero.
You'll still die, but
mm-hmm.
you'll die a hero.
Yep, and he's saying, who wants to do that? That's kind of stupid. And he's like, no, it's not. This is who you really
yeah,
are.
This is who you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get to actually what happens with the Legends. We find, now in the whole thing, Future Nate has been telling Nate about to tell Amaya about
this
your
goes
feelings.
On my theory.
Let her know that how much you love her and all these things. He's like, and the younger one's like, what are you talking about? Because he's never actually had to deal with this.
Right.
Here, future Nate actually had to deal with watching Amaya die.
Mm-hmm. And this is where this comes back to my theory. Who's to say that he's not going to be the grandfather of the Vixen in our time?
Well, that's where we're getting at with here. Because here, once they're back on the Wave Rider, Amaya realizes she has to go back to the 40s, mm-hmm. where she's supposed to be that, and Nate decides and offers to just go back with her.
And he's a historian, so of course he
wouldn't
mind going
back. Exactly,
he
knows what it's supposed to be going
right.
on then.
It'd be nice for him to live that era. Mm-hmm.
So they decide, as of right now, it looks like they're going to drop both of them off in the 40s. Mm-hmm. And then Sarah comes down the hall and sees Rip has a bag packed walking down the hall.
And so where is he going?
Exactly.
He's a captain.
Well, he tells her that he realizes that over time... over this entire season, he's seen how well Sarah is as captain of the ship and captain of this crew.
And not just Sarah, just the crew in general.
How they work
him,
well together without
are better
him, yes.
with him not being in the picture.
So he's decided to go walkabout, basically, and he leaves it to Sarah.
Yep. Now, this is going to go back to a theory I had. Is this going to be where we get to introduction to Booster Gold?
It's possible. I don't know if we're going to actually get a Booster Gold in this. Because they're working on a movie. And it's Greg Berlanti. Actually,
yes,
we
right.
might, though. Because Greg Berlanti is rumored to be writing that movie.
So, you think we might get a little crossover, maybe?
It might
or
have something
to do...
Yeah, they may
the
do
movie.
Something in this for that.
Or, but, they could do something really weird and say, hey, he went back to making movies and he's trying to make a movie about Booster Gold.
Yeah. It's possible. And then we find, okay, all good, and now where are we going to go now? Because there's no more aberrations at the moment. And there's a couple times in the show that Mick Rory was like, when they were going to go back to World War One, it's like, how come we never go to Aruba in 2017?
That
they want to do this. They're like,
well,
let's just go to Aruba and relax.
Yeah, finally, we got some time
to
relax.
Well, finally, they're like, Mick, where do you want to go? He's like, Aruba, 2017.
While he's drinking his beer.
As they go through the temporal zone, all of a sudden they crash, and it's not in Aruba.
No.
They are in 2017, but it's Los Angeles 2017. And the reason they got crashed and pulled out of the thing is it looks like they've broken time.
And they did.
Because they smash into L.A.
with dinosaurs.
With dinosaurs roaming the streets, and there's buildings from all different time frames all in this Los Angeles.
Something is a little wacky here.
Just a little. And that's where we're going to get at for next season.
So they ended on a good note and left my curiosity peaked.
Oh, yeah. And there was a couple of other... I don't see them on here, so I'm not going to look too deep now. But we have some stuff. I know we have some new characters coming for next season. They've not confirmed any of them. But we're going to have to wait till the fall for anything new for this.
We are, sadly.
But I think, overall, I think this was a great season.
It was. It was way better than season one.
Oh, yeah. This is season one, I think they were trying to figure out what they were doing. And in season one, being that Vandal Savage is your villain, the problem is, once you finally get Vandal Savage, now what?
Yeah.
They had built the entire season and the entire show at that point about catching Vandal Savage.
And the good thing was we had different characters with the Legion. We had River Slash. We had Damian Dark. We had Malcolm Merlin. We had Captain Cold. And then we have these other characters that can connect to them. Speaking of connecting to them, who did you connect with most on this season?
Out of the new characters, I like the Nate Haywood. That was a great character.
Okay.
And without Rip there, it was great to have it makes sense that you need a historian on a team that's going, just like any of your time travel shows. Timeless was like this. They had they had a historian traveling with them the whole time. If you have someone who knows their way around a little bit, it's fun because they actually work as a way to tell us what's going on. Because if you're going to the past time, it's like, and you don't have someone who's actually through exposition telling the viewers what's going on, we got to kind of figure it out, and you got to figure out other ways to do this. It's easier if you have a story in there to say, oh, well, you have to do this, this, and this because this will happen.
Right.
So unless you have that, it almost sometimes feels like you're bumbling and stumbling. And
but he's keeping them on the right line.
Exactly.
So, I had two.
Oh, who do you got?
Reverse Flash. I didn't think I was ever going to like him like that. I know I'm going to like him as a villain, but I actually liked him just as a character in general. I felt more for him once they went to the moon. He showed a little bit of his human side. And then once we seen his alternate reality, I'm like, he's not that bad of a villain. He's a villain, but he's doing this for the right reasons.
Yeah.
He really did make a perfect world. Yes, the Legends were out of
it. Well, a perfect world for him and the other villains.
Right. But if you think about it, if they keep doing what they're doing, there wouldn't really be too much more destruction. He was trying to destroy the spear so no one else could use it, including himself from a different reality. But besides him, there's another, I guess, anti-hero I liked. Mick really showed off his chops.
Oh, there. Mick was, this was basically way, Mick's season.
Yeah, way better than what he was in season one.
Oh, yeah.
Captain Cold kind of took over that. But now that Captain Cold's really not there, Mick got to show off what he can do. Mm-hmm. And his struggle becoming a villain to being more of like a hero and a legend. And as you said, this was his season. He even had a monument for him because of what he helped with George Washington.
Yes.
So, yeah, Mick really stood out. And if there was another one, it'd probably be Vixen and Susan Steele.
I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the better year of our Thawne? Tom Cavanaugh. Because remember the entire first season of Flash, Tom Cavanaugh was the Barth Thawne. Or, what's the name of...
My internet is not responding right now. I might have to close this.
Well, I can look up here. But who was your favorite kid?
The current one.
First Flash.
The current one. Real Eobard Thawne. He couldn't really... The reason why I liked this one more, because as I saw, he showed his humanity instead of just being a serial killer or a villain. The first season, he showed his heart, but it was for different reasons, because he had to do this for 15 years. He had to put on this persona of being Harrison Wells, but he really wasn't Harrison Wells. He was Eobard Thawne pretending to be someone else. This was Eobard Thawne 100%, but we got to see him become more of a human. And I think one reason why I really liked him, he had a weakness in this season. The Black Flash was after him.
Oh, yeah.
So he couldn't...
Well, a weakness and a motivation that made him have to keep moving.
Moving, yeah. And help work with others. So those were, like I said, I had really two big ones, but if I had to say like an honorable mention, it would be Sid
there
and Steel and
Matt
Vixen.
Lester.
Matt Lester, you did great. I want you to come back for every single season now, somewhere, pop up in like an episode or two.
Well, that's the nice thing about the Flash and Arrow universe, Flash, Arrow, Legends, Supergirl, they can do that. They can actually take villains or heroes from different places, let them pop up here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes sense because we're all in the same world.
Look what we're doing with Kate Cassidy.
Exactly.
Kate Cassidy, yeah, she's everywhere. Mm-hmm. She could be from Earth 2. She could be from our past or our future, wherever. Their past, their future. So, but... Good season.
All the other shows were on hiatus still.
Yeah.
We got, I think, 2 more weeks till those come back. But I did get some Stephen Amell news.
I remember now, of course, all the ads pop back up as I restore all these pages.
Yep. Now, Stephen Amell, it's... Now, anybody who's seen Ninja Warrior or American Ninja Warrior, fantastic show. I love that show.
Mm-hmm.
But
one of the best reality shows. Does that qualify as a reality show?
Technically, it's a reality competition show.
I like those kind of reality shows. I'm not with the whole reality, but if they're competing...
A lot of these competition shows and stuff are imports from other places that we make American.
Right.
This one, it was a Japanese show for years. But they did, one thing they did that was awesome, I thought, on American Ninja Warrior was they left it, actually, the Japanese show is still there.
Okay.
They didn't change it. Once you get to the main course, because they have the city qualifiers, and they have to take a certain amount of people from each of the qualifiers.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get to the actual Ninja Warrior course...
Make it fair.
There doesn't have to be a winner. There's 4 stages. Have you watched it much?
I watched it with my family, but me, I personally don't go out. I can't pause this, so I'm just going to...
Yeah.
Unit.
But if you said you watched some of it here and there.
Yeah, I know enough about the show.
When you get to the main event, you have 100 people running the course. There's 4 stages.
Okay.
If at some point you fail anything, you touch the water, you can't make it over an obstacle, you're out. That's
right.
It. Game over.
Right.
There doesn't have to be a winner. So in the Japanese one, there's been times when nobody's made it past the first stage.
Yeah.
And then the show's over.
Right. So that's
the way it is. Well, that's the way it is with this, that if you don't make it through the first stage, you don't move on.
That's
so,
it for you.
And I don't know if... I got to check back and watch, because the last couple seasons I've not been able to watch, but I don't know if there's actually been any Americans that have actually beat the course yet.
Do you think Stephen Amell has what?
Well, coming up in May, they're actually doing a Celebrity Ninja Warrior, American Ninja Warrior. And Stephen Amell is actually one of the contestants on it. Now, one of the things he's done on Arrow...
Yes.
...is actually from Ninja Warrior. The salmon ladder. You know, in the very beginning of Arrow, he was doing where you use the bar and you hop up up the ladder with the bar.
I want to try that.
That's a Ninja Warrior thing.
Is it? Okay.
It is, and from what I've heard, it's a whole lot more difficult than it looks.
I wonder if I could do that.
Now,
that's something I want to...
That's one of the most difficult obstacles in the first stage of... Or in the second stage, usually, in Ninja Warrior.
Now, do you have to climb the whole thing in Ninja Warrior, or do they just let you go a little bit?
No, you have to go up to a certain spot and then move on from there.
Oh,
we'll have to bring... I'll have to bring up some videos after this.
Okay.
But, what they're doing with this was they're actually teaming the celebrities that are going to be on this. It's going to be 8 o'clock on NBC, 8 o'clock Thursday, May 25th. Now, according to TV Guide, the celebrities that are going to be there are Derek Hough from Dancing with the Stars Erica Chastain from The Parenthood, Today Show anchor Natalie Morales, comedian Nikki Glaser, Olympic gold medalist Ashton Eaton, former Yankees and Cleveland Indians player Nick Swisher, Mina Savari, actress, and then comedian Jeff Dye are the celebrities running the course. Now, they're actually teaming them with Ninja Warrior All-Stars, guys that have run the course and the veterans, they know
those
what they're doing.
Those guys are beasts.
Well, it's the people that to coach the celebs on how to do this. And the funny thing is, Stephen Amell is being teamed with Casey Catanzaro. Now, you know who that is at all? She's the first woman to ever beat the semifinal stage.
I think I seen her somewhere. They were mentioned as one of the best human
athletes ever. She's one of the best women to ever run the course. Now, the thing with Ninja Warrior that's awesome is men and women both can run this,
and it's
in a flat level playing field. So the women have to do everything the men do. And the men have to...
That sounds fair.
Yeah, it's not like a women's Ninja Warrior and a men's Ninja Warrior on this. So if the women are running the men's course, they have to be able to do all the stuff the men do. So it's going to be great to see. I think if he gets to the Salmon Ladder is going to be easy for him.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody knows...
He's going to surprise everybody, I think, with that.
Well, most fans of Arrow realize that Stephen Amell... a lot of the physical stuff you see him do,
he's actually doing it in the show.
He uses a stuntman when he has to, but that's it.
The thing that really let me know that he's not doing the whole stuntman crap thing is...
Hey, wait. Don't talk bad about stuntmen.
No, now listen to this. What is WWE? What are most of those wrestlers?
Yeah.
Stuntmen.
Well, No. You gotta give it, because I've done both.
Okay.
Pro wrestling is a whole lot more difficult than stunts.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
Because stunts look really, really difficult. They look worse, actually.
It takes...
people have died doing the stunts.
The thing is, with pro wrestling, it hurts a whole lot more.
Right.
You don't have a place to hide pads and things.
But
stunts, everything's padded.
But with stuntmen, aren't you risking your life, though, for some of that?
It's controlled risk, because you have lots and lots and lots of practice doing what you're doing. You start in a gym, and you do the stunt. You set it up with all pads, so you learn how to do it. So that when you actually get on the day and do the stunt, you can close your eyes and do it, and you know what you're doing. Your body knows what you're going to be doing.
Some like BMX guys, if they practice for so many times, they need pads, but you don't need them from memory.
Yeah, that's why
muscle memory.
Yeah, really great athletes when they're doing stuff, baseball, football, anything else. The reason you do the same thing over and over and over and over and over again, so that you can do it without thinking about it. You take the brain out of the equation because your body does what it's supposed to do.
I want to say, when I said stuntman crap, I didn't mean nothing to you. I mean, you're doing it, but Stephen Amell doesn't need one, though.
Well,
but
the problem is, he does use one for certain things.
Certain things, but you're not having the whole camera change, camera switch. You see his face. You see what he's doing. Uh-huh. He's actually performing this stuff. But what I was getting at is that showed me that he doesn't need that is when he was in the WWE, when he made that little guest appearance.
Yeah.
When he jumped in the ring and just went right over the ropes, I was like, oh, crap, this dude has a leap. So that showed off his chops when it comes to physical activity.
Well, this is on May 25th, Thursday at 8 p.m. That's before we usually record. So that week we'll have to let everybody know how we did
for a good old Red Nose Day.
Yeah, they're doing NBC is doing this for what they're calling the Red Nose Day event, which according to the press release here, it says American Ninja Warrior Celebrity Competition will kick off NBC's annual Red Nose Day event, which aims to raise money and awareness for children living in poverty in America and around the world. As part of a special night of programming, the American Ninja Warrior special will be followed by a special episode of Running Wild with Bear Grylls, and the Red Nose Day special, which will feature a Love Actually sequel at 10 p.m.
I'm going to say, for Red Nose Day, I remember hearing about this last year. I went to Walgreens. They had like the whole Red Nose... You could actually purchase for a couple bucks and for charity, buy it, and your nose. So, okay, we're doing this again.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
You want to take the next one, or you want to take the Batman story?
If my computer will let me.
But we actually have some news from Powerless.
Oh, yeah, that one, my computer. You're going to do that one, because I had to exile that one.
Bring up the next one so that you got that ready.
Got it.
And Powerless actually is... we have a familiar character coming to Powerless.
Which was really odd. I didn't think they were going to actually put a character... They kind of did.
Some characters
they didn't show them really in person. This one they showed in person on the show, but they didn't use her name.
Now, for me, I like Powerless because I can sit back and just shut off the brain and laugh at it.
Yeah, and it's a fun show. I mean, some people are like, oh, it's not good. Guys, I think you're putting too much... thought into it. The show is not supposed to be like a Gotham. It's not supposed to be like a Supergirl or Flash. Yeah. This is just literally a fun show to watch. It reminds me of The Office, really.
Well, that's actually, that's the way they described it, was The Office in the DC Universe.
Yeah, and it's got some dry humor in there. A lot of dry humor, but it's entertaining.
Now, what's happening is, I believe it was this past week on Powerless, they had an episode called Van versus Emily, Dawn of Justice. And this guest starred Natalie Morales, which is not the same one that's in American Ninja Warrior. We said Natalie Morales from the Today Show is good, but this is a different actress than Natalie Morales.
Okay.
She appeared in the opening segment of the show as a Celadon-coiffed superhero, basically a green-haired superhero named Green Fury. She saves Teddy, which is the Danny Pudi character, from falling off of a building and prompts him to spend the rest of the episode trying to get her to go on a date with him.
Hmm.
Now, in a Twitter preview of her hairstyle, Morales intimated her character may be around for several episodes, saying, quote, "Guess who's got green hair and starts her run on at DC Powerless tonight?" So it looks like we're going to be a couple of episodes in. Now, Fire is not... Green Fury and Fire is close. It's not the same.
But they're not the exact same.
But it says here, but is Green Fury actually Beatrice Bonilla da Costa, the Justice Leaguer and former Global Guardian known as Fire? According to IMDb.com, they link the character to the 1997 Justice League pilot. Have you seen that one? The pilot that never got aired? They did a Justice League TV pilot back in 1997.
Oh.
It was terrible.
I think I seen clips from
that. You can probably find it.
You
look for it, you'll find it.
I mean, I seen pictures of the costumes.
I mean, it was fun to see. But yeah,
this was a while ago, so they didn't have the whole CGI effects that
they
needed to help.
That's not even the story itself.
I don't remember the story, but I seen the costumes.
The characters were not right. They had Guy Gardner, but he was acting.
Yep.
They had Guy Gardner, but it was more like Hal Jordan.
I thought it was Kyle.
No, he was more of a mix of Kyle and Hal Jordan, but they called him Guy Gardner.
That's not Guy Gardner, though.
Yeah. They had Flash. I forget what he was doing, but it wasn't Flash.
Like, so I remember the photos and, it looked like something. Do you remember that milk commercial we had for Got Milk when they had the superheroes around the table?
No.
Back in the 90s? To me, it looked like a milk commercial. That's
okay.
What it looked like. It's like, hey, some cosplayers, just go in there.
It's only 45 minutes
or so. Now
it looked
better, but back
then,
it's
worth a watch at one point just to say. Just like, at some point, I want to say, I've seen that one. I've not seen Legends of the Superpowers.
So I was going to ask this. Which one's worse, though? That pilot or the Fantastic Four movie that aired back in the day?
I've not seen that one yet.
Oh, I still want to say this Justice League probably.
Another
was
one you
got to
look up is Legends of the Super Friends.
Okay,
it was a live action.
You showed
Super
me that.
Friends.
I looked that up.
Back
I
in
did.
The 70s.
I looked that one up. That
I gotta
was
watch that
pretty
one still.
Goofy.
Yeah,
but it was the 70s. What do you expect?
But according, I guess IMDb links the character here to that pilot, which had Fire in it. So it's definitely the according
so
to IMDb, this
egg.
Is Fire.
So it's like a little Easter egg callback.
No, but the article here asks why Green Fury but not Fire.
Mm-hmm.
But according to comicbook.com, Morales' reply to a fan inquiry asking that was, "We address it." So somewhere in the show, in one of the shows here, I've not seen the episode yet, we're gonna get a reason why she's called Green Fury and not Fire. But we can look forward to seeing Fire on the show for at least a couple of weeks. But that's all I had on that one. And you have the next one. This one I'm kind of excited about.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this. This is my childhood coming back. Melissa Rauch is coming now back for a Harley Quinn. We're not going to get Tara Strong back in here. She's not going to be coming back as Harley Quinn. We're going to have a new actress playing this role. And after this, this is what she quoted. She said, "I love Harley. She's a badass. And beyond that, I'm sure that she uses her humor as a weapon in her arsenal. She's also known for diffusing a situation with her humor and how she can incite a situation as her sarcasm. This is a dream role. She said she knew she wanted to do this. She had a high-pitched tone when she was going to New York, and she had the New York accent. And she also is from New Jersey, so her family and everyone could be former gun moles. So she wanted to give a nod to the background with her being surreal. In all honesty, she said, she used to speak exactly like Harley Quinn. Her acting school professors really wanted her to work that accent out of her. So now she'll be able to use it for more fun in this tone of accent again for Harley." Which actually makes me very happy to hear that.
Well, have you ever heard Melissa on The Big Bang Theory? Every once in a while, have you ever watched The Big Bang Theory?
Yeah, I watched it. But
okay,
I don't,
so you remember when
I don't religiously
mom, well,
watch
remember
it.
When they had Howard's mom there when she was yelling off screen?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Bernadette, the character Bernadette when Melissa plays, actually can do that voice.
Okay.
So if you take that voice, bring it down to age-wise,
yeah,
and you're going to be close to where you can go for Harley.
And it's funny, I'm reading this, the whole New York accent. This is the second time I actually heard someone say the whole New York and New Jersey accent for Harley.
Yeah.
I never paid no attention to that. But
I thought about it, but once you think about it, it's there.
Yeah, and I was reading some reviews last year for the Suicide Squad, and people were saying, oh, I hate Harley. Some reviewer, not people, but one I seen, say, hey, Harley Quinn's accent, she sounds too much like a New York and New Jersey girl. And they're like, don't you know what Harley's accent sounds like? So now I'm, yeah, I guess it really does.
Yeah.
But the story is going to focus on Batman, Nightwing, and Harley Quinn teaming up to stop a global catastrophic problem on their hands with Poison Ivy and Jason Woodrow, a.k.a. Plant Master. Now, I never heard of that.
No, I have to look him up.
There is no release date yet for the film, but the film will be coming out in the summer on Blu-ray DVD. So we'll get to see.
Hey, I do have a shout out on the video real quick.
Oh, okay.
Hi, Kimberly.
Hello, Kimberly.
My niece is actually watching this on Facebook Live.
Family. How you doing? But I'm really happy to see that they're coming back. And I know we had some problems with the Killing Joke. I know a couple people didn't like the beginning somewhat.
It's weird because the first half of that, well, we talked about it. First half didn't fit with the second half.
It did not.
Second half was perfect.
It was perfect. So the fact that Bruce Timm is now coming back to do his style of
the
Batman.
Well, he's never left DC, really.
He did.
He stopped, the DC animated universe that he started ended with Justice League Unlimited.
Right.
But he's never really left DC. He's still been all the animated features and stuff. He's still working off and on with all those.
But this is his baby.
Oh, yeah.
The Batman animated series was his pride and joy.
Well, he also created Harley.
He did.
And him and Paul Dini did the show. That Harley was the character created for that show.
A whole new string of fans. Yeah. So the fact that he's coming back to do his own thing, you have Kevin Conroy coming back as Batman, the best Batman voice ever.
Yeah.
This show is going to bring back a lot of nostalgia for a lot of people like us, and they're going to enjoy it. And when it first come out, I'm getting this one. I don't get a lot of DC animated films when it first gets released, but I'm going to have to pre-order this one and put this in my collection.
So, and I don't even know when, they don't even have a release date for
this
one yet, do they?
Just know it's going to come in summer. My birthday's in the summer. I'm hoping for July.
So, but next up, like I said, next up we're going to move on to WonderCon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we didn't see a whole lot of big blockbuster news coming out of WonderCon, but what do you have for some of the highlights? You looked through it a lot more than I did.
Some of the highlights for this, I'm going to go through this day by day, really. For Friday, we had a couple different panels from a couple different people that worked there. They did really dive into the DC's Young Animal line. The reason why I didn't really bring this up too much, I don't know too much about what's going on with that.
Yeah, we haven't been covering Young Animal much because we've not been reading it much.
No, there's been so much in Rebirth.
Yeah, well, I got the beginning of all of the Young Animal books.
And you had a better insight of that one. What did you think like the first prints of those?
They weren't bad. It really wasn't just not my style.
Okay.
So I stayed with Cave Carson until about three or four books, but eventually it got to the point where it's the last one on my stack, and it was after two or three weeks I had finally got to the point where I opened it a little bit and just set it back down, and I figured if I'm going to do that, then I'm not going to worry about picking them up. Something that I want to pick up and read as soon as I get it.
That's what I did with Shade the Changing Girl.
Mm-hmm.
I thought she was cool. I think it was the art that really got to me.
Yeah.
It was a really trippy, like,
see,
vibe.
What actually turned me off a little bit.
And see, that's what I liked about the whole psychedelic thing.
Yeah.
But after a couple of issues, it was kind of like, as you said, you picked it up, you went through, and you're like, I like the imagery, but
we're
the story,
superhero guys, though.
Yeah, if they would have put, like, maybe a Nightwing, a Flash, or something in there, would have kept my interest. Heck, Dr. Fate would have been great for that book. Which might
possibly
be in there, but I haven't read it, so I don't know.
Well, that's, some of the young, like, Cave Carson has Wild Dog in it.
Yeah, and that connected that through a little bit. And then, what was the other one that had Batman or
Gotham Knights?
What was that?
Or, let me look. Mother Panic takes place in Gotham.
Now,
but for me, it's even darker than the way Batman is done.
Okay.
So, for me, the more darker you go, the more you're going to turn me off to it.
And the best one I think that came out of this was Doom Patrol. Now, that will probably be one book I go back and buy the rest. But I did pick up issue 1 and 2, and I liked that a lot. But the thing was, it wasn't in the Rebirth thing yet. So, it's like, I want it to be because of everything that I was used
to. Honestly, for me, the Young Animal came down to having the cash to buy the extra books.
Okay.
I've had to limit what you can't. I can't read every book.
To be honest, I would have probably kept buying Doom Patrol if we didn't have that issue.
Yeah.
So, but they did spotlight a couple different things. We had DC's Bombshells there. Nia Taylor Caster came through for the Cartoon of Arts Museum. Then they had another one for DC Collectibles. They had a couple of VIPs to check out some of their iconic characters and stories from the collectibles that joined from the DC crew.
They had some spotlight for Jim Lee. They also showed the world premiere of the Teen Titans Judas
Contract.
That would have
been cool to see, is actually being in a theater setting with everybody else to
in
watch
the
Judas Contract.
Yeah, and no one else is seeing this.
I
had
heard the rumor that they were going to put this in the theaters, but I didn't find any that were showing it. So
I didn't hear about that, but
a
I wish they would
showing.
Have. Man, we might. You think we might have missed it?
It's possible. It would have been earlier this week because it came out
well,
this week.
Well, it says here that it's going to be released on digital for 4/4/2017.
It's not out yet on. Okay, it's DVD, Blu-ray, and DVD is coming on the 18th.
So that's why you can literally only get this on streaming services. That makes sense. Well, we're going to stream that. We're going to watch that next week, and we'll get back to you guys. Mm-hmm. But that was all for Friday. Everything I just named. Then they had some other stuff for Saturday, of course, and Sunday.
Well, Saturday started off with the Wildstorm 25th anniversary panel, which would have been awesome because they had Jim Lee actually moderating it, and Wildstorm, he
moderating
was one of the guys
it.
On it.
Awesome.
He's one of the
That's
guys
the
that created
to hear
Wildstorm.
The creator talk about his creation.
Yeah. Wildstorm was all Jim Lee originally.
And from there, you had all these, you have everything from the beginning day to the end of the day here. There's so many different names here. I'm not even going to name everyone, but they're all iconic. And you've heard all of them. It's everybody from, Jim Lee to Jody Houser and James, Tinian the fifth. He also, or
fourth.
The fourth, I'm naming your kid right now. they were all there and they had a lot of signings. I've really seen what happened for Saturday. It wasn't too big of a thing that happened.
Yeah.
And then for Sunday, you had the last day here, sadly. I know all of you were a little sad to see that go, which could have lived another week of that. And this is just for the panels right now that I'm naming. I'm not even going to the in-booth stuff. Room 300AB, you got to see Gary Griffin, Cecilia...
was this the signings?
Yeah, these are all the signings
okay.
right here. As I said, there wasn't too many things going on. You did get to see a Teen Titans all-new episode of Teen Titans Go. DC Comic Books
drawing. I still have to sit down to watch that.
I
have a
episodes.
Lot of friends that tell me that it's a whole lot better than it looks.
Well,
for me, it was almost too silly because I love Teen Titans.
Well, the thing that got me on this, and I heard a lot of the haters, and I was one of them that didn't really understand what they were doing with the show. I went back and saw this was a short, and I loved everything. I wish DC Nation come back. DC, if you're hearing the DC Superpowers podcast, bring back DC Nations. I don't just want to see the Teen Titans go. I want to see everything you had. They had Plastic Man. They had a Dead Man short.
Yeah,
they
remember most of those.
Green Arrow shorts. It was awesome because you got to see everything from the comic books just in like about a 5-minute short.
Yeah.
A little kidified, but it was fun. You could watch it. Your kids could watch it, and you could catch the little Easter eggs.
Exactly.
And that's what they made Teen Titans Go out of. So I don't hate that show. I think it's pretty good. I just want more of that. With other characters. They also had Daddy's Little Monsters. They also had a Lucifer special video presentation. Okay, I didn't think that Lucifer was going to get that popular in here, but it looks like the City of Angels Lucifer had his own little panel for imaginary things that heated up in the show. So that was pretty good for anyone that was a fan of that. You had a Justice League Action all-new episode, which we watched the first episode.
Yeah, we saw the first episode. The fact that we don't have cable makes it harder for us to see
it. I watched a couple more on the app, so those are pretty good, actually. I liked them. I had my friends watch them. They enjoyed it. And this one, they actually, first time you got to see Constantine and Swamp Thing work with the Justice League in any media besides the actual movie.
So Justice League Action's getting into a little bit of Justice League Dark action.
Yeah, there was an episode with Swamp Thing, Zatanna, and Constantine trying to stop zombies from coming back by Solomon Grundy.
Cool.
And I thought that was really cool.
That was the first episode with Swamp Thing in it, I think, because we actually covered that Mark Hamill was going to be doing the voice of the Swamp Thing.
Mm-hmm. And if anybody out there, I was one of the people that was wondering, how are they going to give Constantine all of Constantine to you? He's a pretty vulgar character.
Yeah.
Well, they make him with his attitude. That was a smart attitude. It was good. And also, if you watch certain parts, so he pulls out a flask, but they don't tell you what he's drinking.
Yeah.
Two, he's not smoking a cigarette. He's sucking on a cigarette. He's sucking on a sucker instead of smoking a cigarette. Ooh, tongue tied. So they did him justice. Plastic Man gets his due on the show. And
okay.
You get to see Lobo voiced by the same guy that voices, I can't think of his name, but he also voices Jake of Adventure Time, and that's on the Cartoon Network. And he did actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Sometimes when I'm reading the comic books, I get his voice mixed up with the one that did before from the Superman anime series.
Yeah, that was a great Lobo.
Amazing Lobo. You got a Gotham special video presentation for Sunday, and they ended with, another screening of the Teen Titans Judas Contract, so
of
you
course.
Can see another one. And that's really all the signings they had for it. And that was just the panels. I didn't go into really anything else for here because there's so much. But you had your in-booth events. You had your view by talent event. There was just everything there if you wanted to get more in touch with the actual creators of the DC comics. This was good for you.
Okay. Well, also coming out, this was actually from at the Fan Expo Dallas. Scott Snyder, Greg Capullo, Dan DiDio, and Jim Lee all sat down and talked about the major event coming this summer to DC Comics of Dark Knight's Metal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo. If anybody doesn't know, most people in comic books know, they were rated as one of the best Batman team-up teams
ever.
Ever.
Yeah, anytime
these guys,
they...
If you anything in the last 5 years that you liked from Batman, these guys did. From yeah. Court of Owls to Death in the Family to Zero Year and Endgame, all of that was them.
Yeah, and whenever they team up together, it's just good. As we complained about some of the stuff in New 52.
That's
with
the
Batman,
one thing that, yeah.
That did not lose a step. It just got better. Mm-hmm. And his legacy just kept carrying on because of those guys.
Yeah, the Batman was the one thing that actually worked in the New 52.
And Aquaman, but they
well, I
on that.
Didn't.
Aquaman was great, too. Aquaman, as you can't talk about Aquaman and his fish jokes anymore because of that. But
anybody who was watching for Facebook, actually the event with these four guys was actually streamed on Facebook Live, like we are.
Mm-hmm. Hey,
so but we have some selected quotes coming out of this. Now Scott Snyder said that I've been planning metal for as long as I've been writing Batman, but this is bigger than Batman. Greg and I started dropping clues during Court of Owls, and we continued through our Joker stories, and we placed our biggest hints in the run that culminated with Batman number 50. And now we're back to tell a story that breaks everything apart. This will be the definitive project of our careers. Metal takes us in an entirely new direction. Greg and I will dig beneath the surface of all the stories we've told to find a place of terror and twisted nightmares. Now, if you check the DC All Access app, there's actually some interviews with Dan DiDio and others talking about this Dark Knight Metal. Now, the story here, we actually got the story off of, what was it, comicbook.com?
Mm-hmm.
But the story from comicbook.com says that the New York Times bestselling Batman writer and artist team of Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo made their mark as, this is just talking about their history that we've already covered, and then it says, with Dark Knight's Metal, Scott and Greg will build on this strong foundation of what they built through the years and broaden the scope of their storytelling to encompass the full expanse of the DC Universe. Now, we saw the interview with Dan DiDio.
Mm, yep.
He was talking about they're bringing in everybody in this. It will be brought into this, from the Lanterns to, I believe, Superman and everybody else.
And a little spoiler alert, I was surprised he didn't say that. If you guys have been keeping up with the death of Hawkman, this is a great tie-in to what you're going to see in Batman Metal.
Yes, there is Hawkman. Now, the Death of Hawkman comic that just finished up, we find Hawkman's dead,
mm-hmm,
but there
course.
Is a future for Hawkman.
Yes.
But this is, that's comic books.
Right.
No one stays dead.
No, they don't. So, with that, there's also going to be, what was the other tie-ins of the characters they said they were going to put in there? It was Hawkman, and it was two more.
I know they mentioned Lantern.
They did. Oh, it was another one. I can't remember. I want to say Vixen, but I don't think that was it.
No. I don't remember, but there are a couple of other quotes here. The next quote was, this is from Capullo. He says, as you've probably heard by now, Brother Scott and I are renewing our comic wedding vows. I'm looking forward to rocking and rolling together again. Fans have been loud and clear that they want more of from us. You know what they say, give the people what they want. Jonathan Glapion and FCO, the original Batman team, will be riding the lightning with Scott and I once again. We're primed and ready to blow it up. And then from Dan DiDio, who's anybody who doesn't know, he's DC's publisher. He's the publisher or co-publisher of DC Entertainment. He said, Dan DiDio says, I couldn't be more excited to see Scott and Greg take on the DC universe. Dark Knight's Metal leans into the strength of the relationship Scott and Greg forged on Batman to launch something new and unexpected. We're pushing the world's finest heroes in new, unexplored directions to tell a giant story using all of the characters in our pantheon. Then the last quote is actually back from Scott Snyder again. He says, I want metal to build upon the stories happening now in Rebirth and create new material that feels really modern and different. And above all, it's going to be fun. Even with terror and nightmares, it won't be grim. Dark Knight's Metal will be celebratory, huge, and crazy. I've said it before, I'm going for out-of-control dinosaurs and lasers. So, and it says here that Dark Knight's Metal is actually going to be hitting shelves in August. So we're going to hear more of this as we get closer.
And I was going to touch on next up the whole Wonder Woman is going to be still a good movie, but it might not make as much as...
Yeah, well, no. We're talking about the haters now.
We're talking about some haters here, but just a couple
I wasn't
going to
bring up the haters, but you can bring up the haters.
Well, for
a couple of haters.
A couple of haters. A couple of haters. From what I'm reading here, they're not really hating, really. They're making a prediction. And, I mean, this is one of the things anybody could predict. They're basically just saying, compared to the other DC movies, really, Batman Dawn Justice, it's not going to make as much the opening weekend. It's still going to be... I mean, duh. The first female lead superhero will have a massive impact on the film, but it will fall short from previous installments of the DC Extended Universe. Kind of duh. I mean,
yeah, but
it's
I
Batman.
Don't know.
It's Batman Superman. I feel like that's
no,
of course
no,
going to make
I'm thinking
more.
They're looking at it as like, well, it's a female led movie,
lead,
so it's not
yeah.
going to do as well. No, no, no. The thing
I still
is, think
it's going to do well.
They're underestimating
yeah.
the popularity of this character.
Yeah.
And what people don't realize is Wonder Woman, in my opinion, is as recognizable and as well
she's
known.
She's in the trendy. She's
as,
in the top three.
Well, yeah, she's as well known, as popular, and as strongly recognized as Batman
and
Superman.
And Superman, yeah, and it's literally
people
Batman, are, Superman, Wonder Woman.
Exactly. When they back in the 70s, when they made a DC Comics TV show, they made Wonder Woman. They didn't make a Batman show in the late 70s. They made Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
And she had, what, three or four seasons, something like
and
that?
And even from this movie, from Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice, if you ask someone who is their favorite character and the most outstanding character in the movie, it was Wonder Woman. And
Wonder
no
Woman
one expected
and then,
that.
And the surprise was Batman.
Right, yeah. So, with that already being said, I really think it's going to make I think it's going to make more than Suicide Squad. I think it might come close to making as much as Batman vs. Superman.
I don't know if it'll do Batman vs. Superman money, but I think it's definitely going to do as well, if not better, than Suicide Squad.
And I think it's going to do better than Man of Steel.
And actually, over on DC, or on Geek Watch 1 last week, we did our looking preview of the second quarter movies, mm-hmm. and there's nothing really else opening that day for... Actually, I have my notes here.
Uh-oh. Bring out the notes, crack them out.
Well, the same day Wonder Woman opens, there's nothing else really opening, so that we got plenty of room for Wonder Woman to do fantastic.
Hmm.
I gotta find my notes.
And that's why they kept pushing it back, because it was supposed to come out last month, in March, but they stopped with all the Logan, the Power Rangers, all these other movies coming out. They wanted to have a good day so people can actually
yeah.
go out and see it.
Well, this whole season has been, or movie season has been doing that, people bouncing around trying
they
to figure
have
out...
To.
Where
there's
everything's
going to
be. You know what?
Out.
I can't find it. I'm not going to spend too much time on that right now. But no, there's Wonder Woman's the major thing that's happening that week, and I believe the week after that, there's not a whole lot either.
No.
So Wonder Woman will win the first week of May, or June.
June
I believe it's
yeah,
first
June.
Week of June.
Yeah.
I believe it'll probably win the first week of June.
I think that's June 6th, if I'm right.
I believe so, too.
But
and then the week after, there's not a whole big thing, so they'll probably win the second week, too.
See, I was going to talk about this article... Rotten Tomatoes, but I'm not even going to classify them.
Rotten Tomatoes is terrible.
I'm not going. I mean, some things, even for Marvel and DC, you're like, huh?
Rotten Tomatoes
really?
At this point is nothing but haters.
Yeah.
Well, no matter what it is you try to put out, they're all hating.
Yeah, but once you see the fan reviews, it's a lot different.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that was just a little something I want to touch on there. Also, there's another thing about Wonder Woman. There's a couple different things, actually, from Wonder Woman I want to touch on. They also have some more pop vinyls out for Wonder Woman.
There will be. They're coming out, yes.
Mm-hmm.
At least four different ones.
Yeah, you're going to get Diana in her regular Themyscira outfit, her in her civilian outfit, her in her casual dress apparel, and also in her Wonder Woman outfit.
Now, wait, in her dress jacket, yes, she still has
the sword.
Shield.
Well, she has a shield, and then...
Well, you remember in the trailer, at the end of the trailer,
yeah.
she's walking in her regular trench coat and hat with the shield and the sword.
Yeah, she's trying to walk through the door, and like, no, you can't get the... Please put that away. No one else is... You're looking suspicious. Please stop.
Yeah.
So,
if nothing else, the trailer shows... hopefully, that's not the only comedy and levity in the movie.
I've seen a couple
of... looks like we got the right...
I really feel like Chris Pine is going to bring a lot of the humor to the movie, too.
Yeah.
He's going to be the comic relief and
well,
give everybody
a little
Well, we
know from the Star Trek movies that
oh, yeah.
he can actually, even in tense situations, he can put that little bit of levity.
Not just
that
movie. One of my favorite films he ever played in was Smoking Aces.
Ah, see, I've
Jeez,
seen
that
it.
Movie was hilarious because it was just random, deaf, and stupid. It was just, oh man, you didn't know what to expect from that film. But he played a really good part in there. He made me laugh throughout that whole movie. So
awesome.
If they need somebody that can have a serious tone and bring the humor, it's definitely Chris Pine.
Okay. Well, do we have any other news stories that we were going to cover this week?
Let's see. Let's go back to our notes.
Well, that's it for the notes. But
then, yeah, that's it for notes.
Well, then it's time for our reviews.
It is.
And these are the comics from March 30th, 2017. Now, we had mentioned it when we were talking the previews a couple weeks ago for March 30th that it's the fifth week of the month again.
Yeah, so.
And DC Comics, anybody knows, the fifth week of the month ends, that's when you get your annuals.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got two annuals this week, and we got Batgirl and Supergirl annual. Well, it's Batgirl Annual number one, but it's Batgirl and Supergirl together.
Yeah.
And we got our Titans Annual. And Titans was awesome. Yeah, there's Titans.
This was great. Like, this was really good. I mean, I'm a hardcore Teen Titans fan.
This was perfect. We're going to finish with that one.
And we explained something that we didn't know for years. We were at work talking, like, so what's this whole Donna Troy and Diane? What's going on? Well, we'll find out in here.
So, well, let's start with Batgirl then.
Question before
you. Did you read Batgirl?
No. See?
Because you can't find a copy of it.
Yeah, so I found this copy, you found that copy. I couldn't find that, you couldn't find this, so we'll work together on here.
Okay,
but question, does that lead into what they're going to be doing with this whole,
Saturn Girl?
Saturn Girl and Empress? No?
This has nothing to do with Saturn Girl or Emerald Empress, which we were predicting that's what it was.
Yeah, because they're coming out next week.
They're talking about some psychic girl and these types of things.
Yeah.
But... No, it's as far as I know, it's a new character. I've not looked.
Well,
Let you look up the name while I do this.
Okay.
The name is. Where did we go?
For research.
Yep. I should have done this beforehand. If I was actually a prepared podcaster, I would.
Hey, this is why we call it a live podcast. Before we could just edit this.
That's right. Where did she go? Where did she go? I need a name.
So I could look this up on comicbook.com here.
Yeah, look it up real quick on Comicvine. You can get all the character names. So, but Batgirl and Supergirl starts off, and they're in National City, but it's Batgirl taking down the Red Spur. And it's like, wait a minute, if you think what's going on here, National City is Supergirl. Well, that is Supergirl's territory. Batgirl is here taking him down. And as he turns around and says, Batgirl with a big question mark, then all of a sudden his hat comes off his head. And someone says, like I thought, you have a melting ice cap. He's bald on top. And Batgirl's like, wait a minute, what happened? And looks over, Supergirl just joined the fun. And, of course, they titled this book correctly. The book is called World's Finest, the name of the book. Which,
is that a little drawback?
Look at World's Finest, anytime you've ever had a World's Finest.
Because
they've done it for multiple issues before, and it's always a Superman family character and a Batman family character.
Right.
Traditionally, it was Superman and Batman.
But their family expanded, they had to expand on everyone else having team-ups.
Well, back in the 90s, the World's Finest was actually, I believe, a 3 or 4 issue miniseries. They actually put Tim Drake's Robin with Superboy. The new Superboy after Return of Superman.
Yeah, that's right. They did. And that was actually pretty good anytime they would team up.
The original version of the clone Superman.
Which I'm waiting for him to come back.
With the faded hairdo and all that stuff.
Yeah.
The leather jacket over the spandex.
Even Teen Titans, when they would have them team up together, was really awesome.
Yeah. So that was the last World's Finest I remember, but they've done this through the years. I mean, all the way back to the 50s, I believe. But you have the two of them taking on this Red Spur, and he finally, as they're talking back and forth, he takes off and gets a parachute and jumps off the building. And one Supergirl asks Batgirl, well, do you want me to go stop him? Batgirl's like, no, I already hit him with the tracker. I'll just deal with him tomorrow.
the bat way.
Exactly. So the two of them start talking, and you find out while she's in town, Batgirl and Supergirl are like, hey, why don't we hang out a little bit? And Supergirl says, well, I actually do have a problem I could use your help with. Now, this is Supergirl with all the powers and abilities of the Supergirl asking Batgirl for help.
That happens sometimes. You know, Superman's the next...
Well, you need a detective once in a while.
Yeah. Although you can have X-ray vision, so I'm just saying. You can use that, right?
We find out what it is there's a... she needs Batgirl to help her break into a Cadmus Blacksite lab...
Of course, Cadmus.
...that uses Wayne Tech security.
Now it seems like she needed her help more.
Exactly.
I know a Wayne.
So, we get the story. What it is, Kara was actually in her room doing homework or something, and...
Kara doing homework? That sounds like more of a Babs thing.
Well, she's in high school.
Still, that sounds more of a Babs thing.
And someone talks into her brain and is speaking Kryptonian to her.
Mm-hmm.
You find out this girl is actually locked up, something named Gale.
Is that the name you're
talking
about?
Yeah, Gale is the name I'm looking for, so if you find her in there. But she's trapped in this black site. So she needs Supergirl to come help her out. Now, Supergirl... Since this Gale is speaking in Kryptonian, obviously she's like, wait a minute, no one should know Kryptonian. So if there's even the slight chance that she's actually from Krypton, I need to go get her and help her out.
Yeah, same thing Superman would do too.
Exactly. So she needs Batgirl to help her out. And Batgirl finally is like, okay, I'll help you out. Batgirl first suggests, why don't we call Batman to help with all this? And Supergirl goes, no, you can't do that because Batman's going to take over.
I haven't seen her since back in the day.
Well, when we get to her, you can tell me who it is.
Okay.
I didn't recognize her right away. There's another character in here, too, so keep that linked, and then there's another character that's mentioned in here, too.
Okay.
But Gail asked her for Supergirl for help, and she wants to do this. She doesn't want someone else taking over for her. Which she knows if she calls Superman or Batman, they're going to do that. They're going to be the quote-unquote adult.
Of course.
And
as they are
take over and say, kids, go sit down and we're going to take care of this. So they end up going to the black site, and Batgirl, Supergirl's just hanging out, flying beside her, and Batgirl's actually rappelling down the building to get into the window and doing all these things. And but the nice thing of having a Kryptonian with you, when they're first breaking into the room has thermal sensors. So Batgirl has Supergirl use the heat vision to warm the room up to body temperature, so there's no difference in temperature when you get in there.
Smart. And only someone like the Bab family would think of something.
But
like
as she steps through, Babs had actually forgot it, or didn't notice the laser grid on the floor.
Come on,
so
Babs.
Supergirl reaches in, grabs her by the seat of the pants, and holds her there. Wait a minute, don't forget the lasers.
Good thing they helped each other out.
Well, she flies Batgirl across to the panel where the security is controlled. And as Babs is rocking the security and fixing it, she's like, well, she realized, or she tells Supergirl, she actually helped Batman write the code that Wayne Tech uses in his security systems, so hacking it'll be easy, since she wrote the code to start with, and she actually put back doors in it. So as she's doing it, all of a sudden, the alarms start going off.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait a minute, it looks like someone closed that back door she was using. So then you see a guy mopping the floor and a guard over him, because he's a prisoner. And, let me see. Is this the... Yeah, that it is. Then the alarms go off, the guard gets distracted, so the guy clocks the guard and takes off. He's like, oh, I can get free. So now you got Batman and, or Batgirl and Supergirl able to walk around since the Batgirl had actually disabled the alarms after they've already gone off. But they're like, you know what? That just means we gotta do this quicker.
Yeah.
And they, as they're walking down the hall, everything starts to get cold, and they realize there's a kid down the hall. It's the kid who'd gotten free. And as soon as he sees them, he's like, no, I won't go back. And he starts blasting them with cold. So, obviously, he's a meta also. So, this looks like it's a lab that's actually either experimenting on or keeping metas captive, one or the other. Wait a minute.
And they do not like those metas.
No. Well, Cadmus, they've never been nice. So as they're going, Supergirl and Batgirl work together to knock this kid out. Then finally, when he wakes up, he looks and sees, they talk to him, wait, I'm not here to do that. This kid's name's Caleb, but according to his ID, he's called Frostpoint.
Frostpoint.
Which is probably another obscure, because DC's got 27,000
Frost villains before.
So, but Frostpoint is this kid, and they're like, you know what? If we're going to save one person, we got to save everybody that's being captured.
Actually, you know what? He is not in here as the characters on the website.
Huh.
He might be new.
Well, it's possible. But they get to the cells where Gail's at, and they find no one else is in there. Well, as Supergirl starts to break her free, she smashes the door. And then she starts speaking to Kara in Kryptonian. And we find out that she needs Kara to give her the key to the Phantom Zone.
Of course.
She wants to be put into the Phantom Zone. Now, Kara says, well, why in the world does anybody want to go to the Phantom Zone? And she says, well, I need Supergirl's power to get there. And Kara's trying to talk her out of it, but she finds out, Gail says, I know it's a bad place, but it can't be worse than here. And he's there, the one who can fix me. So I guess get rid of her meta powers. So she says, hold still, this won't hurt. And somehow she pulls Kara over and hits her with something and then disappears.
Hmm.
You find out there's has effect on your hair, disturbance, psionic. Then they find out, wait, I have to get out of here quick because Director Chase, who Kara works for at the DEO, is also at this place right now.
Whoops.
So they got to get out of there before Chase finds out Supergirl's there. Because that's something you don't want to have to explain.
They really put themselves in a hole here, didn't they?
Yeah. So they get back out in the desert, and they did save Frostpoint, and we don't find out any... Now, you said you found out who Gail was.
Yes. Now, she's only appeared in 17 issues in DC comic book history, period.
Okay.
So she's not that
is
much
a character
a
we would have heard of, though?
You might have seen her, but it's nothing that would really pop out of your eye. Her costume kind of popped out of my eye, because reading this, and I'm like, oh my goodness, that was like nothing to you. That, I don't know if you remember, but the gold, the cape...
Oh, the character Psy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Psychic. So, she's just a psychic character. She was in the Suicide Squad. That was probably her main issues was, yep, the Secret Six. She played one appearance in Suicide Squad, and then she also died in the Doom Patrol and Suicide Squad special. So,
okay.
Not much to her, but she is a female character they have used before.
Well, as we wrap up this part of the issue, we find out that Kara and Babs, they're sitting in the desert trying to recover from all this that happened, and Frostpoint is laying there, but they're talking back and forth, talking about how Gale disappeared, but they were at least able to save one person they know of. They saved Frostpoint from this. So they start talking back and forth, and how it's like, you know, we gotta go hang out some more often.
Yeah.
So the funny thing is Supergirl's like, if they don't meet up, then Supergirl's like, well, I can just call you. And Babs tells her, well, I already went ahead and put my number in your phone. She's like, you hacked my phone? To be fair, your password's Krypton. Have you ever considered Supergirl with a 5 for the first S, a 3 for the first E, and a 1 for the I as an alternate? And then she's like, how rude, or how about heat vision? Whatever.
Change it up. Switch it up a little bit. Don't make it so easy.
Exactly. And then we get a backside story on this, a back issue story, which is another... The first story is only half the book.
Okay.
Then the back issue is actually another half of the book, and it's more of Batgirl. And you find Batgirl's in Gotham City's Chinatown. And this is actually a story that takes place before Batgirl number one. So this is before Rebirth starts.
Oh, okay.
And you go back and you find Batgirl's investigating electronic mnemonic. She's been following digital ghosts that come back to this, Riot Black is the character that she's trying to look for, the villain.
Hmm.
So you might want to look him up. but she's talking to her friend on the headset who's doing the tech work, or the computer work, and finding out who this guy is, back and forth. Then she says he's here. Frankie's the person she's talking to. I know he is. Then you find out, as she's looking for all this, she gets a message on her phone. And it's her best friend, Alicia. And we go through and find out that she keeps having to postpone or give rain checks or any of these things to Alicia because Batgirl gets in the way.
Hmm.
So they're, as she's postponing and doing all these things, Alicia is like, you find out here that the next day after this happens, they're supposed to be having their friendiversary. They're going out to hang out. There's nothing going to stop this, is what Batgirl says. So, but they find Riot Black.
And speaking of Riot Black, he's really only appeared in anything Gotham-related. Basically, Batgirl's comic books and one appearance in Young Gotham.
Okay.
Simpler, so that wasn't even really a big issue. He's only been in 5 of these things.
Okay. But she's in the middle of investigating where Riot Black's at and sends a message back that says, miss you too. Wild horses couldn't keep me away. See you tomorrow. While she's in the middle of investigating Riot Black. But she breaks in and finds Riot Black in a chair being messed with by a doctor, and what it is, he's getting cybernetic upgrades.
Mm. This would be a perfect character. Once again, this is Gotham and Arrowverse. He'd be a good character for Arrow.
Quite possibly. Because he's actually, it looks like he's a type of hacker.
Yeah, he is. No, they say he's equipped with a computer brain, and he runs a blackmail website where it profits off posting people's personal photos and information.
Okay.
So that's why I say he'll fit well for Arrow.
The upgrades he's getting is actually going to allow him to go wireless.
That makes sense.
So he never has to plug in. So the battle ensues, and he escapes, but the doctor that by throwing the doctor that was doing the work on him out the window. So Batgirl saves the guy, but loses Riot Black. And you find out, but the doctor says, here's the schematics for his upgrades so you can see what's going on. Because the doctor was actually being forced to do this. Then we get to the next day, and you find Barbara's being picked up by her friend, and they get to go out to a club. And as they're at the club, all of a sudden, Barbara's phone starts vibrating.
Who is it?
And her friend's like, wait a minute, do you need to get that? And Barbara's like, no, it's fine, I don't have to do this. No. Then eventually, when it does go up, she's serious, Babs, just pick up the phone. Like, okay, well, hang on, I'll be right back. And here it's Frankie saying that, hey, I found Riot Black, I know where he's going to be, we need to go get this done now, before he actually gets a chance to get online. Because once he gets online, we're done.
Hmm.
So,
and
but it's like Barbara can't step out on this dinner date. There's been too many times that this has happened. So she gets out and sits down, is like, and her friend Alicia is like, wait a minute, don't tell me you're going to do this again. You're going to bail again. And Barbara comes up with the story that, well, that was my master's theory advisor. And I actually they set up there's something with my project that's very time sensitive. And she says, well, can't we rain check the... you really can't rain check the day we became friends. So, but it comes down to, she find out this... Supposedly, Barbara tells her the story that she has to actually meet up with this person to get an interview that she can't get any other time.
Okay.
Her advisor set up the interview.
Okay.
Well, Alicia's like, well, fine. If you're going to have to do that, then I guess I'm going to have to go with you. And here we know Barbara's actually going to meet find out what's going on with Riot Black. So they're in this building, and Barbara's like, well, why don't you stay outside? I'll go in and do the interview real quick and come right back. She's like, no, I'm going with you again. Okay. And this continues all the way up until...
This is why Batman does not have friends.
Yeah. Well, they get to the offices. Oh, that looks cool.
Yeah, it does. Sorry. I know, right?
But they go up in the offices at the top, and they do find Riot Black, who doesn't know this is Super or Batgirl, obviously, and is like, "Oh, hey, ladies!" And they end up having to. Barbara has to hide what's going on to try to fight him without
revealing.
Without revealing. And they fight. She takes him down, but Alicia helps too. And Barbara tells, we get to the point where Barbara is like,
that's a good friend.
The Taekwondo classes have been actually working. And then later on, you find the police talking, thanks for the cooperation. Is anything else? And then they're talking about, where did you learn all this? How'd you do this? And wait a minute. And then Barbara is thinking, well, you know what? One thing we could do that's going to be awesome is Barbara takes her to the roof of Gotham Police Station to where the bat signal is. And I thought, as soon as I saw that, I thought, well, she's going to tell her she's Batgirl.
Yeah, I'm looking at the
photo. She doesn't, though. But
I know Batgirl?
Yeah. Well, Alicia asks her, so seriously, where did you learn those kung fu movies? And are you getting private lessons from Jackie Chan? She says, no, kickboxing was more fun than yoga. Now, she says, I know we've been missing a lot of each other, but you're my best friend. I hope you know how much I love you and all of this. And says, you know what? She said, go on. It's okay. Are you sure? I promise. I promise. Worst case scenario, Dad grounds me until I graduate. So it's so worth it. And so it allows Alicia to turn on the bat signal. And that's the end of the story.
Okay. I was seeing that picture. I'm thinking she's going to say, well, you see this signal? That's how I learned how to do everything. But, yeah. Okay. Well,
so that was Batgirl Annual number one. And Titans only had one story, didn't it?
Yeah, it wasn't okay. Separate.
It was a great story, though.
It was amazing. Well, right now we see Garth, Aqualad, not Aqualad anymore, he's Tempest, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Tempest is in a room by himself, no one else there. Then you see Wally come in, another Flash. Then you see another Flash come in, which is Barry Allen. And they're like, whoa, slow down, something's going on here. They're talking at the same time. They're like, oh, it's good, we always do this, it's kind of funny. But then you see Arthur Curry walk in, Aquaman come here. See, it's too many of these guys in the same room. And then you see Nightwing jump off the balcony, and they're all talking, trying to figure out what the heck's going on.
Well, the worst one is Flash, because it's Flash and Flash.
Flash and Flash. You don't have a Nightwing, a Batman, an Aquaman, a Tempest. Two Flashes, so I'm going to call these guys Wally and Barry for right now. Flash 1 and Flash 2. Then you're getting Donna, Troy, and Wonder Woman, Troya and Wonder Woman together, while Batman just standing back trying to figure out what the heck's going on, and Batman and Wonder Woman are on the same page.
Yeah.
Everyone else like, hey, we're buddy, I know you, you're Aquaman, da-da, although Aquaman's still acting like a pompous king right now.
Well, that's just because he's Aquaman.
He's a king, he has to be on his guard. But Batman and Wonder Woman don't trust anyone. They're thinking themselves, we're in a random place, we don't remember how we got here, something's going on, you guys are still... They're still considering these guys that feel like they're proteges, they're teenagers, they're kids, they're not experienced enough. But as this goes by, you'll see friendship is the main key that helps everything. Now we go to a room where this guy's watching them on a monitor. He's setting them up, and his name is The Key, if you guys remember hearing about him. He's been a villain in DC lore for a while now. He's the one that's saying he's going to get them all together to find out all their secrets, get them in one room, someone will break, and they'll tell everything. So far, this is his master plan. He's got the key to success right now of how to reveal everything he needs to know. He's going to put the pupils and the mentors in Rum Room so they can have a system, so they can be vulnerable, and they'll reveal some secret.
It's interesting, though, because the whole time it seems like he's talking to somebody.
At first I thought he was talking to himself, but as it goes by, and what happens in the end,
is there someone else involved,
has to be. But they're in the room, and they're going to tell each one of them do what they need to, as Batman be the brain, think of everything, as Nightwing tell the Titans what to do, since they're the leaders of the team at this point. You got Donna, Troy, and Wonder Woman. They're really not doing anything, but Wonder Woman's actually still on the side of Batman.
Yeah.
But it's funny because they're not supposed to trust anyone, but they're on the same page of not trusting anyone.
The interesting thing is, the list they put down here... was these are all mentors and mentees.
Right.
So you got Batman and Nightwing, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Flash and Wally are Mentor Mentee.
Aquaman and Tempest. But Tempest now.
Wonder Woman and Donna Troy. Donna Troy was never her sidekick.
No. No. And honestly, if you look back
even
in the
when
comic
she was
books,
Wonder Girl.
Yeah, if you guys go back in the comic books, you always saw Aqualad, which becomes Tempest, was Aquaman's sidekick. Mm-hmm. Robin, which becomes Nightwing, was always Batman's sidekick. Wally West, which was Kid Flash, and Flash were
exactly.
always together. When Donna did you ever see Donna Troy or Wonder Girl and Wonder Woman
I remember
together?
Wonder Girl was actually created
for
the Teen
Titans right.
book back in the 60s right. when it first started.
She was never... She was never there. Heck, even Roy, he's not in here right now, but Roy and Green Arrow, yeah. Speedy, they were always
well,
together.
Well, with the relationship the two of them have, you really couldn't put them in this book.
No, you couldn't, but, you know, as yeah. a sidekick, they were together. I can't remember one panel where I saw Wonder Woman and Wonder Girl together except for her origin story. At least not in my mind.
Yeah.
So, right now you're going to get Batman and Nightwing telling Wally and Barry, you guys are fast, patrol the area, look around to see if you see anything weird, which they don't. And as
But they do discover
yeah.
that they're in a labyrinth-type room
yes.
system with no doors.
No doors at all. None.
There's
so how
no
did they get
doors.
In? How did they get in, guys?
Exactly.
And this is where you see Troia and Wonder Woman. Talking to each other, like, am I being... She asking Wonder Woman, am I being punished for something? And she says
because
no.
Wonder Woman's being all cold to her.
She's being dead to her, really. She's like,
yeah.
I don't know you. And it's like, I know you don't trust anyone here, but you're really being standoffish towards me. And she's saying, why are you acting like this? I've never seen this happen. She said, you're overreacting. She's like, no, I'm not. Over the years, I've seen what's happened. You have let some of the years fall past us, and we've gotten far away from each other, and I don't understand why you've grown so cold toward me. When we first met, you loved me. Now you act like you don't even want to see me.
Yeah.
And then you get Batman and the Nightwing, of course. Dick and Bruce are always going to be butting heads over how to operate something. This is why
but
he left
the mantle. Their relationship over the years has been phenomenal, in my
oh, yeah.
opinion, because no matter how much they butt heads, and Dick needs help, Bruce is there, no matter what.
Yeah, and whenever Bruce needs help or
exactly.
a light side for someone to say...
If something happens for Bruce, Dick is there.
Yeah, it's like... Here's the thing about Tim Drake. Tim Drake was always just an obedient child, honestly.
Kinda. Well, the major thing was, really, Dick Grayson didn't have a choice. He was... When Batman... Or when Bruce Wayne adopted him,
mm-hmm.
he became Robin. That's the way it was.
Yeah.
That just happened.
That was the lore of what happened
Jason
to Todd, Batman and Robin.
Same
story.
Thing. When Batman or Bruce Wayne adopted Jason to become Robin.
Right.
Tim Drake, as far as I know, still is the only person to ever choose to be Robin.
Right.
He was never awarded or adopted by Bruce. He
or,
had his family
or his
still.
Real son.
Exactly.
He
chose to be Robin.
But the aspect I love of this is Batman... Dark side. And I'm going to do it this way, hard to the core, my way or the highway.
Which is Batman.
Dick is like, there's another way.
Yeah.
There's always going to be another way, Bruce, no matter what. So they're talking, they're butting heads, and he's saying basically how you trust them as friends and the Titans. That's the difference between us and Justice League. I still don't trust them. Even though I work with them, I don't trust them. You trust your friends. They might not even be your friends right now for all you know. He's like, you're not getting through to him at this point. So he's like,
yeah.
All right.
Well, Bruce at this point he knows he is who he is.
Right.
He doesn't believe anybody else is possibly still the same exactly who they are
right.
because he doesn't know.
Right. Which he's taking precaution, which isn't bad, it's just his attitude. You're like, come
yeah.
on. And then as they're going through here, you get Wonder Woman saying, "Yo, man, your sidekick's smart because," before I get there, Dick Grayson point out something I don't even know if Batman even knows, or he didn't say it because he doesn't trust
yeah.
nobody. Dick Grayson's saying, we're trying to figure out who's who and try and get out if we're telling the truth from each other. We could do that easily if we had Wonder Woman's lasso of truth, which has not been on her way since we got here. And she's like,
that's the only
wow.
weapon missing out of all of their arsenals of everybody that has weapons.
Yeah.
The only thing missing is the lasso.
She says, wow, your sidekick's smart. And then Bruce says he's not my sidekick. He says, thank you. He says, I don't know who he is. Then it's like, dang, got it. I thought he was giving me credit, but you just don't trust me. Whatever. So as they keep going on, they're trying to figure out what wall they can maybe break through, which is more vulnerable, and they're noticing through their masks and his cowl, Nightwing, and Batman. So they tell Wonder Woman and Aquaman to hit that thing for a sword and his trident. And then this is where the key focuses their attention on something else they can't break through. He brings out some type of fake version of Metallo.
Well, no, as far as they know, it's just Metallo gets dropped into the middle of the room out of nowhere.
As they know.
They can't see, they don't know where it came from, it just appears.
He drops, he's there. He formed...
right there in front of them. And they, of course, they're going to beat him. They go through this whole fight sequence, which was awesome.
And this was a whole lot easier
together
than they expected it to be for, yeah, for defeating Metallo.
And the thing I always got me, why are you giving a Superman villain to the... Here's the thing about Metallo. The only reason why Superman has a hard time beating him is because of Kryptonite.
The Kryptonite, yeah.
So why would you give him to some people that aren't vulnerable to Kryptonite? I don't know. Me could have came up with a better villain. I would like, heck, put Lobo in there or whatever. Ocean Master would have been even better.
Yeah. Well, you got to remember, Lobo right now is a good guy. Kind of, sort of. Is as good as Lobo
could be. He's anti-villain. He's anti-hero at this yeah point, really. But hey, that's a lot more than what he's done in the past. And they're looking at that, as you said, something's not right here. We beat him too easily. And why did he just get brought here out of nowhere? There was no trace of him. Why is he right here? And then they start putting more together, like two and two doesn't add up. And now we get a little bit of background to the key. He says he's been, in his early years, he's always been trying to play at a new game, trying to get all these, expand his mind, open up each door that he can possibly do, manipulating the senses, defying the odds. And that's when he first recognizes the potential of power he can unlock things with his super mind. A power he's so proud of that he profound an actual key that can actually unlock all these different doors.
Okay.
And now this is back at Titan Tower in Manhattan. Now you have the other side of the Justice League and Teen Titans here. You have Cyborg, Superman, the two Green Lanterns, and Lilith here, with Roy Harper in the background. And they're saying how they can't find them. Superman can't get a trace on them. Cyborg can't get a trace on them. Lilith can't psychically find them with her brain. The Green Lanterns can't find anything. Well, out of all the people in the room to figure out, maybe this might work. Arsenal says, if we're searching right now, it's pointless. If we had information, it isn't there. So at this point, just surveillance everything we can. It comes to the sensors and Lilith's mind. And we just keep doing this until we can actually find something. So his main thing here is, just because we're not finding them now.
It's time for a stakeout.
Yes. Which, honestly, Green Arrow taught, that's his bread and butter, is stakeout, stakeout, stakeout.
Yeah.
Well, now, here's a better obstacle for these Titans and Justice Leaguers to fight. Parademons. I'm like, I'm okay
with this.
Yeah,
out of nowhere, you get a horde of parademons.
I mean, a swarm of these guys. And they're taking
which is the only way that these guys ever appear.
Yeah, no one does it one-on-one. So Batman's saying how they gave us Metallo. They gave us, these are simulations right now. We're really just fighting random things. And Batman and all the rest of them, Flash, Nightwing, how this is just something psychological that's going on with us. They're trying to get into our brain and they're trying to break us down because these are easy villains to defeat. The adversaries are not that hard to take down. But they're saying if this is all a mental, then they're trying to break us down this way. What are they trying to do to each other? Not trust each other, or are they trying to have us just go crazy? Maybe a little bit of both.
Yeah.
And this is when Arthur Curry brings up one good thing that touched on Barry, where Barry is the nice guy. This is why I like Barry and Batman. Batman, I just like him as a character.
Yeah.
I relate more with Barry Allen.
Most people do.
Yeah, so when you kind of push his buttons, he gets serious like, hey, don't do that.
Yeah.
So when Arthur Curry says, we got all these other people in here, all these other sidekicks and whatever, and you don't even know your real secret sidekick's identity is. We didn't even know who Wally West was until a couple months ago. And then that's when Barry tells Arthur, hey, back off. Don't talk to him like that.
Yeah.
I know who he is. And he's like, hey, I'm just giving this as an example, man.
Well, it's cool that the people in-universe realize that Barry Allen or Wally kind of appeared out of nowhere
being
a Rebirth.
Yeah.
Being where we're at with Rebirth, he just appeared out of nowhere, and all of a sudden everybody remembered who he was, but they remembered that he wasn't there.
Right. So something's fishy with him.
Yeah.
So right now, they're kind of... He's trying to point...
The fishy guy is the one that figured out something's fishy.
That was a good pun there, kid. So now they're divided. You got Aquaman after he attacked Wally, then Barry starts attacking him, then you hear Garth talking back to Aquaman, and now they're the Titans and the Justice League saying how there's something else we have in common here. We're friends. You're supposed to be friends, but you're really just allies. Where also, Nightwing says, proteges and mentors. Maybe they're trying to break us up in this way and tell us something we haven't figured out yet. This is when Troia hits up Wonder Woman and says, you know what? All this stuff that's going on, those six have a good relationship going on. Me and you, something's weird, and you're not telling me what's wrong. So she starts going at her, says, I know you don't know if you want to hurt me, you don't trust me, you're treating me bad. What's wrong with you? And when they're fighting and doing all this bickering, Batman, of course, picks up one of the goggles from the Parademon and say, hey, they have these cloaking devices on here. They can read through you like x-rays. Mm-hmm. Let's scan each other in the room and we'll find out something. And this is where the key says, oh, he's very clever. That Batman is something else. This is when Batman looks at Troy and says, Troy, You're the one that's not human. You're not organic. Something's off with you.
Yeah.
She's the one. And before they can start attacking her, here's the thing, too. Everyone on Justice League, except for Wonder Woman, tells them not to do it. The Titans are trying to hold their mentors back. One of them tells her, this is why I've been quiet the whole time. I knew if we got down to the nitty-gritty, you'd find out who you really are. You're made out of clay. This is why you're not organic. And they're like, no, I'm not. I'm made like everyone else. He's like, no. Now, wasn't this her backstory before? Wasn't this Wonder Woman's backstory?
The original Wonder Woman's backstory was that Hippolyta made her out of clay, and I believe Zeus took pity on Hippolyta or something like that and breathed life into her.
Well, this is literally the same. That's now Donna Troy's backstory.
Okay.
So they switched it. They made Wonder Woman more of a demigod.
But we have a backstory for Donna Troy.
Finally have one. So all those years, people that we've been trying to put two and two together and we couldn't figure out, it's like, so you saved... Oh, this is the other thing, too. In the original origin of Troy, she was saved from a burning building. She was an orphan. Her parents had died, and she took her back to Themyscira and raised her as an Amazon. Now, here's the thing that always confused me. How the heck did a human child get Amazonian powers with just by getting training? You know what I mean? She got the flight. She got the strength. You can't... That just doesn't work. Well, now, all those little loopholes we got, her backstory is a mixture of what Wonder Woman's original backstory was in the beginning. And the whole you were orphaned, saved, and we put you back on the island was a fake memory they implanted into her so she would feel more human. She didn't want her to be an outcast. And after figuring all this out, she really has a mental breakdown. She starts crying on the floor saying no. But the first ones to come comfort her are her Titan friends because they've known her from the beginning. They don't care what she is. As long as they know she's still good and still Don Troy, it doesn't matter to them.
Exactly.
Now, that's where I said the aspect of the Teen Titans being family and friends come into perspective, except for the Justice League just being really co-workers at this point.
The Justice League isn't quite a family yet.
No, they never have been. I don't think they should make them.
If I remember right, back on Grant Morrison's JLA run back in the 90s, it felt more like a family.
Okay. I like the aspect having, because if you look at it, the Teen Titans are literally going to be the Justice League one day. That's what they're going to turn
into. Well, the thing is
into.
With Titans, the Titans team now, and was the fact that they actually grew up together.
Right. They did. They started off as the Teen Titans for a reason. They were the sidekicks in one home, just like Justice League were. But the thing about Justice League, they could go to Metropolis. They could go to Star City. They can go back home. The Titans all lived in the same house as teenagers. They grew up together. But this is when the key says, yes, another door has been opened for me, and someone's having a mental breakdown, something he wanted. Now he's getting deeper into these secrets.
Mm-hmm.
And one was revealing Donna Troy is not really a human.
Yeah.
But because of that, she had that little mental breakdown. That was enough power for Lilith to figure out where her friend is.
Exactly. All of a sudden, Donna Troy shows up on, in her psychic...
psychic mind link or whatever.
In the mind link. Oh, wait, I got a reading from her.
And now
I
she's
going
to track
at.
This down. Exactly. And this is going to give the rest of the team a lead to where they are. And this is where you start seeing her friends helping her out, saying, you're a friend. We always have your back. No matter what, you're still Troy to us. And then this is where the key finds out, wait a minute, she's not breaking anymore. What's going on? My plan's not working.
She's getting stronger all of a sudden.
Because she has friends.
Exactly.
And this is where Batman says, oh, yeah, these goggles, this power surge that we were going to break in the first place that we got stopped at. Hit this thing and let's get
through
here.
This wall is the weakest wall in the room.
Well, the reason why he tried to stop in the first place and all other times, because that is the weakest point in the wall, Key is staying right behind there.
Exactly.
So they get into his room. He's trying to stop them, but of course you can, because now all the other Justice Leaguers and Teen Titans come back, and he's like, well, I've seen enough of this. I'm out. I'm out of here. He goes into his door that he made up for the key. He just poofs away.
Yep. It's like a dimensional door.
Mm-hmm. And Superman tried to grab him, but he couldn't do it. He just really grabbed nothing. So now we're back at Titan Tower, and you get all the Teen Titans and the Justice Leaguers talking to their mentors and then going back and forth and talking to the rest of the Justice League. This is where you hear Batman and Nightwing have the little conversation of which is really like the best way of working as a team. And he's like, well, clearly, with you working a lot with someone made you guys stronger, but also with his mental energies of the key that he had, he was trying to break us, he could not do that. But he told them, out of everything that we went through today, just keep eye out on Troy. And Nightwing said, that's all we're going to do. That's all we ever do is look out for each other. Now you get Wonder Woman and Don Troy in the same room. She says, I'm sorry, I was just trying to protect you all these years. I didn't want you to feel like an outcast, but in doing that, I also made you like the way you are now, and I hope you don't hate me. I hope you can forgive me. But here's the one thing they didn't add in here that I'm going to add. If she wouldn't have told her all these things,
she would never been, I don't think, a member of Teen Titans and wouldn't have been as strong as she is today.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing she kept us away from her. This has made her mentally stronger. Now the last panel of this whole issue is the Key talking to someone we can't see in one of his dimensional doors, and it's open right now. And he says, "I'm sorry, I tried. I didn't expect all them to, this to happen. I tried to escape, but Troy did something I didn't think she was going to do. I'm sorry, please let me free. If you let me do this again, I'll try hard and I'll maybe be able to do it next time." He's begging someone to spare him and give him another chance.
Yeah.
The door closes and he's screaming no, and then you hear a loud scream of ah.
So here we find out so, he hasn't been talking to himself the whole time.
He was not talking to himself. There's someone else manipulating him.
Exactly.
But who could this be?
We'll find out in Further Adventures of the Titans.
Yeah, or any other book right now.
Yeah.
Because this seems like it's going to something big in the Rebirth.
I don't know. I would almost think, is this possibly Oz? But I don't think
that's
this is outside
thinking.
Of that. Because Oz doesn't seem like he's that active. He doesn't actively hurt people. It's like even with Mixxas Pitlick, remember, he just put him in and said, "Here,
cell.
Wait
and
here. As soon as I'm done with what I'm doing, you can go down and do whatever you want."
He's really just observing the whole thing.
Exactly. So, but that brings us to the same the place we go to every point in the show.
We gotta go somewhere to get some more books.
We gotta take a trip. And that was the comic book shop for to bring us to our comic shop pull list for April 12, 2017. And that was the comic book shop song by the Shazbots. Check them out on iTunes and Facebook or Shazbots.com. Let them know the DC Superpowers podcast sent you. And we actually have 12 issues for April 12th. Starting off with what'd you got?
I was going to get this one.
Yeah, with Action 977.
Now, we're about 22 issues away from actually getting to our...
I know, we're going to get issue 1,000.
What are they going to do?
They better make this thing fantastic, because it's the first time I can think of any comic from any company
has
reaching a legitimate issue 1,000.
Jeez, this has been starting back since the
1938, I believe, was when Action number one was.
Jeez, wow. Was it 38 or 37? It was 38, you're right, it was 37. Oh, yeah, 38. Well, anyways, guys, we're getting there. This is 2017, and we're going to get there really soon. But right now, this is Action Comics issue number 977, Superman Reborn Aftermath, Part 1. Following the epic struggle against Redacted, we're getting that again, Superman examines his entire history.
Well, that's, at this point, we've already spoiled everybody. The epic struggle was against Mixxas Pitlick.
Yeah, and that whole fake Clark Kent storyline they had,
yeah.
And now we figured out what it was. But seeing Redacted, you can hear if it's going to be something deeper.
I don't know.
The birth of John, the marriage of Lois and Clark, their lives of the daily plan to discover who tried to destroy his life, who's waiting in the shadows. Who is it? Mr. Oz? All questions of the Man of Steel cannot be answered alone. It's time for him to unite all entire Superman family.
That is awesome.
So I'm expecting to see Steel, Superwoman.
Well, on this cover,
hey,
let
Crypto.
Me see. Let me see if I can zoom out and actually see the cover. Zoom in on this.
There's really not too much on there except for
his
memories.
Yeah, it's just showing his history. So
yeah, where he's
we don't know which hero or which characters are going to be put into this.
But art is done by Ian Churchill and Dan Jurgens.
Okay. Well, the next one on the list is New Superman number 10.
Ooh, is that Flash?
On New Superman?
Yeah.
That might be the Chinese
like
Flash.
Yeah.
We'll find out here. Well, this is Coming to America Part 2.
Sweet.
Superman meets Superman. As the battle with China, White, and Lex Luthor intensifies, the Man of Steel steps into settle things once and for all. Can the combined might of three Supermen turn the tide? Don't miss the fate of Central City's own Avery Ho, repercussions from the Superman Reborn Aftermath story in Action Comics, and the new member of the Justice League of China. So it looks like we're going to have a Chinese Flash.
Awesome. I'm expecting a whole Chinese Justice League at this point.
Art done by Victor Bogdanovich, and is written by Greg Luen Yang.
Next on our list, we have Supergirl issue number 8. Superman Reborn Aftermath tie-in. So we are going to see Supergirl, seems like,
yeah,
in all this.
Yeah, a lot of... Well, they just said the entire Superman family is going to be involved in this, so...
Well, this is definitely one confirmed. Superman and Supergirl meet again for the first time to face the evil of the Emerald Empress. There we go. Plus with what this means to the Girl of Tomorrow when she promises a Dark Knight. Shocking revelations, all powerful sorceress from the future, the Batgirl of Burnside, and the Dinner of the Wild West. They all are here for amazing issue. Now, does this come back to what you just went over, the Batgirl Supergirl annual?
Possibly. This could be rolling over from that.
Art done by Matissa Bergara. And Steve Orlando is the writer. So, okay. We're getting a lot of tie-ins so far.
Yeah.
That was only three, and we're going to get some stuff from we got an annual and from the previous ones. This is good.
Well, the next one we get up is Batgirl and the Birds of Prey number 9, Blackbird Part 2. The birds need answers about the mysterious Blackbird, who's handing out massive increases in power to Gotham City's most dangerous metahumans. And to get them, they're sending their own dangerous metahuman, Black Canary, undercover into the world of black market superpowered fights. Roulette rules the world with an iron fist. Will she give up the secrets Dinah needs? And at what price? Art's done by Raj Antonio, written by Shauna Benson and Julie Benson.
Sweet. And next we have The Flash, issue number 20. The dangerous scientists of Black Hole have been stealing the bodies of the dead speedsters, probing Iris West and The Flash to go deep undercover among them. And in doing so, they discover the shocking secret, a traitor within The Flash's inner circle. Who could that be? Neil Gooch, and written by Josiah Williams.
Joshua,
so I was right. Joshua.
You had it right to start with.
See, I've been doing it opposite this whole time. Uh-huh. Finally get it, I switch them back again.
Okay. Next one we have is Detective Comics 954. League of Shadows Part 4. Ra's al Ghul has the answers Batman needs to take down the League of Shadows. But will he lift the finger to help him? Or would he rather use the League to take care of the Dark Knight's the Dark Knight detective once and for all? This is art done by Marcio Takara and written by James T. Tinian IV.
Next we have Hal Jordan and Green Lantern Corps, issue number 18. The Prism of Time, Part 1. The Green Lantern Corps has united with their once mortal enemies of the Sinestro Corps. But there is a storm brewing in the horizon as an enemy of the future arrives to rip the two apart. There will be no peace in this time. Art done by Dexter Vines, V. Ken Morton, and written by Robert Venditti.
This is interesting because on the cover it shows Kyle Rayner in his White Lantern gear.
Yeah, I'm thinking they're going to give people some time before you can actually figure out he's, you know, back to being
Green Lantern. Yeah, he's green again.
But then again, no, they put out his costume last week in the comic book. He was in his green. I don't know what they're doing here.
We'll find out.
Whatever.
Well, the next one up, we have Justice League of America number 4, The Extremist Agenda Finale. The new JLA's first adventure comes to a multiple Earth-shattering conclusion as Batman and his team takes the fight directly to Lord Havoc. Art done by Joe Prado and Ivan Reese, and it's written by Steve Orlando. That's interesting, the multiple Earth-shattering conclusion. So are we going to get more of the multiverse in this? I kind of hope so.
I hope so. Like I said, I haven't been reading the Justice League, but I'm trying to figure out also, my main thing for getting was Legion of Superheroes.
Yeah.
What did they play in there? But it doesn't seem like they did too much with that.
Not yet.
But they let us know that they are there.
Legion's coming.
Yeah.
There's something happening. They're working on it, because we know Saturn Girl is coming to Supergirl at some point. So.
I can't wait for that. Now I'm going to see if I can buy the actual toy set of them, if it's still available. That was a Comic-Con exclusive. Anyways, we have Red Hood and the Outlaws, issue number 9, Who is Artemis, Part 1. When Artemis discovers that the Bow of Ra has been used to destroy an entire city, Red Hood and the Outlaws race to Kurenz to discover the identity of a barbaric bow man. I wonder who that could be. And who they find too shocking is to believe. Art done by Dexter Soy and Scott Liddell.
Okay.
I got the last issue of Red Hood, but I didn't read it, so I'm very curious on who could this be.
I think I've got all the... I'm trying to remember. I think I'm still picking up Red Hood, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love him. I got to read it. But, there's a lot of stuff going on this week. It's going to be interesting next week.
Yeah. Well, we got 3 books left. And starting with Suicide Squad number 15, Burning Down the House finale. Fueled by vengeance, Harley Quinn travels to Rustum's stronghold to take on the traitor Deadshot and his entire team of villains all by her lonesome. But help comes from a most unexpected place in this thrilling conclusion to the most shocking Suicide Squad story of the Rebirth era. Art is done by a whole slew of people. We got Eddie Barrows, Richard Friend, John Romita Jr., and Eber Ferreria. And it's written by Rob Williams.
Next we have Titans issue number 10, Made in Manhattan finale. While Wally and Dick are trapped inside Meta Solutions with a raging mammoth,
Simon.
See, I was wondering about that. Simon reveals that his employees have big plans for Bumblebee. Can the rest of the Titans rally before the fearsome five unleashes hell on New York City? And we got a couple of art on this one. Norm Rootmutt, Bennett Booth, and Dan Abnett.
Okay.
Since this finale, what I gotta look, is this gonna lead right into what they're doing with Deathstroke?
I don't know. I don't know if this has Deathstroke at all.
No, not yet.
Oh, no, wait. Yeah, the next storyline is going to have Deathstroke in it, so it's possible. You know what? It says that Simon has an employer here, or he has employers. I wonder if it has anything that Deathstroke may be in.
Deathstroke definitely takes his contract seriously.
So,
we'll see.
We'll see how this goes. And finally, we actually have Wonder Woman number 20, God Watch Part 3. Kale launches a desperate gambit to take control of God Watch, but her plans hinge on... Or her plan hinges on two factors she cannot control. The witch Cersei and Wonder Woman. The art is done by Bilquist Evely and is written by Greg Rucka. And that's the end of our list for this week.
Yeah. Huh. That's a lot of good stuff because Cersei's still in there. And we've seen her also in Trinity.
Yeah.
So, that was a good one. So guys, that was the end of episode 51.
Exactly. I was wondering, great episode. There's some good stuff coming out.
Should we do anything for episode 52 in particular since that is a 52?
I don't know. I know, well, we do have the... Remember, coming up next week, we're going to have the...
Review of Judas Contract.
Judas Contract. I want to actually thank everybody that actually did make comments on our video so far.
Yeah, we got a couple more this time.
My niece Kimberly was... our friend Mike Emke down in Florida.
And our buddy Ty.
Buddy Ty. Ty, we miss you. You were supposed to be here with us, but I guess you've had other things you needed to get done.
He's a couple hours out. Thank you, everyone, that tuned in. Thanks for commenting. We got more this week. Hopefully next week we'll have a couple more.
Exactly. And we're having fun doing this live, so as far as I know, as much as we can, we're going to keep doing this live on Facebook Live.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it's going to be Saturday nights every time, but we will definitely let you guys know beforehand when we're going to do this live.
So you can tune in and watch our pretty faces.
That's right. So everybody listen to this on the podcast feed. This really doesn't affect you, but you guys should check it out, too. Everybody checks out our Facebook page. And Vernon, how can actually everybody find the Facebook page and everything, any other way they want to contact us?
For our Facebook guys, just go to DC Superpowers Podcast. The same is going to be for Instagram, and for our Twitter is at Superpowers DC. Yeah, there you go. And for me, my personal usage is Howlin' Out Wolf on Instagram, Vernon McWayne Moore for Facebook, and then on Twitter, I'm Biello.
And on Instagram and Twitter, I'm GW1Ken. On Facebook, I'm Ken Rose. Where you can also find us on the Tangent Bound and the Weeby Geeks Podcast Networks at tangentboundnetwork.com and weebygeekspc.net. Or no, it's weebygeeks.net.
And guys, this is just something, if there's some really big juicy news, I was throwing this idea to Ken, if you guys would like, I do Facebook Live, YouTube, whichever, we can start up a YouTube channel if we need. If there's something really big that goes on the news of the DC world, we can do a little vlog if you guys want.
Yeah, we can do this. So, little snippets here and there.
Yeah, just a little something. We can cover more on the show and go more in depth. But nothing wrong with about a 5 or 10 minute video.
Exactly. Well, also, any ideas you guys have for the show, we know you guys are listening to the shows. You're checking these out. Drop us a line at DCSuperpowersPodcast@gmail.com. Give us your suggestions. Let us know, hey, do you want us to change something up here? Ty actually gave us some suggestions on Facebook Live about something about the Facebook videos here. So
We're going to take that in consideration, Ty. I know you're listening right now because you said, hey. So, we'll figure out how I can display our comic books to you guys that we're actually reading from and we're reviewing and show you some major pictures since we are on camera now.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll think of some ideas here.
But with that, remember the Judas Contract. Watch it this week if you can.
Yep.
We're going to be reviewing it. Actually, we may have to wait a week or two. Let it come out on DVD and Blu-ray first.
You're right, because not everybody's going to stream it. Good point.
Because
good
not
point.
Everybody's going to want to stream this thing.
Yeah.
So we'll wait till it comes out, and the week after it comes out on Blu-ray and DVD, we'll actually have our review of it.
I was going to say, well, here's the thing we can do. We can review it with no spoilers for next week. Then after that, we can do the spoiler review.
So, Super Friends, thanks for hanging out with us. Facebook Live, thanks for hanging out with us. And Vernon, thank you for hanging out.
No problem. Thank you.
Have a good night.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.